Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathy Todd of the Valdez Medical Clinic and also Providence Valdez Medical Center doctor. And we were talking a little bit about surges and at what point, where we are on the continuum of COVID, because there's a lot of discussion. We're going to have a spike, but what defines a spike? You know, what are the numbers? And then we wanted to get to masks as well and where that surge fits in, kind of controlling the ups and downs of COVID.
Yeah, it's really hard to do this without being able to draw you a graph. You know, pictures say 1,000 words, so I'll try to keep it to less than 1,000 words. We had a spike or a surge, let's call it a surge, in March. You know, and then we closed down everything. You couldn't do restaurants, you couldn't do hairdressers, you had to stay home. Kids had to stay home from school. That was a biggie. People were working from home, all those things. And we squelched that. We went down to having 0 to 1 new cases a day in Alaska. And so through that means, we made that surge be a curve that went up, and then it went back down, and then it went back down to almost nothing. And then starting at about Memorial Day weekend, we had all these people coming into the state from outside, and we wanted to make sure that the tourists could come or the people who needed to work here for the summer could come. And we did a lot of things, but we did say you could start moving around the state. We did say that you could have restaurants or bars or whatever under certain circumstances. So we opened things up a little bit. And sure enough, here came the virus again. And so if you look at that, you know, starting after with a little lag after Memorial Day, here it comes again. There's more and more and more and more and more cases. And it, right at the moment, that has reached much higher than it did back in March or in March and April. So one of the ways to get rid of a surge is to tell everybody to go home again, you know, back to working from home. No, we won't open school in September, all that sort of stuff. But if everybody wears a mask, there's a chance that we can flatten that curve with just that, with social distancing, with washing our hands, with all these other things, and not have to give up going to the store, going to more stores, more different stores, or having the kids be able to be in school for real as opposed to virtual and that sort of thing.
And we'll get to different nuances about the mask, but you had some numbers as well on days from the surge and and if everyone wears their masks, what the numerical impacts would be.
Well, people, obviously, it's almost impossible to say, okay, let's have half the people do it this way and half the people do it that way and do an experiment. But
these are all projections.
This is simulations, but based on a bunch of information, way more information than we had back at the beginning of the epidemic. So as we get more and more information, you can make your simulations more and more accurate. And simulations, if you put in different people, number of people wearing masks, different numbers of people are starting that trend earlier or later. If you only have 50% of the people wearing a mask, it doesn't work very well. It doesn't make much difference in how many people catch the disease, how many people end up in the hospital, how many people end up on ventilators or even dying. So 50% doesn't do it. 90% seems to be kind of the break point, the magic number, so to speak. And 50 days from the beginning of the surge is where the break point is for how many days. If you go out to 100 days, it doesn't work very well at all. And so the earlier you can do it, the better. That makes sense. If there's not very many cases that you're having to suppress, then it's much easier to suppress them than if a whole bunch of people already have. So those 10% who aren't wearing their mask in any one particular time because they lost it, they didn't want to wear it, they left it out at recess, whatever it is, you know, that 10% will get you if a lot of those people have it, whereas if not very many of those people have it, it's not as much of a problem. So you really need to do this early on, just like we did with the main shutdown. So the numbers that group doing the simulation came up with was 90% of people wearing masks by day 50. And so if our surge started at the very end of May, which it did, if you look at the graph, that's when it started up. 50 days comes out to the middle of July. And so we need to be doing this now, in my opinion, for it to have the most impact.
And there are two camps, I think, you can get more flies with honey or you can mandate. So to that end, what are the benefits of in ways in which, like in our small town, you could encourage people to wear masks? And then what are the benefits of mandating a mask, I guess.
Well, you can do it.
Or pros or cons, I guess.
Both. You know, there's all kinds of psychology involved that they've done studies on, not on this in particular, but on all kinds of things. And the best is actually to get people to think about their neighbor, to do it for altruistic reasons. It's interesting. I hadn't realized that people who are wearing a mask that has a round, like 1-inch hole in the front of it, that you'd get to, you know, if you're changing out the moldy plywood under your floor or something, that little hole in that kind of masks is so that it will be easier to wear the mask. So it's an exhalation port. So what you're trying to do is filter out all the mold that's trying to get you, and then your air, which is pretty pure, goes out the port. That actually doesn't help your neighbor at all, if you think about it. And so actually a cloth mask is better, a cloth face covering is better than that in terms of what we're trying to do here, because if all of your air, and you might have COVID, goes squirting out forwards onto the person that you're talking to, that doesn't really help very much. But the idea is, I'll wear my mask so I don't spit on you, and you wear your mask so you don't spit on me. And because the big droplets are easy, that are close to your mouth, are easier to stop than the little droplets that are out farther. So if you can stop them while they're still big, we have a lot. It works pretty well for droplet control. It doesn't work as well for inhalation control.
And I think there's a lot of, you know, definitive, you know, I'm on this side, you're on this side. But when it comes to you, you don't care whether it's whatever body, you do it, you just want, well, it, the it, mask is the issue.
Well, and there, yeah, because that's what we have that's easier to do. You know, would you rather have your kids have to go back to homeschooling like they did in the spring, or would you rather have them be able to go to school and in person? And, you know, there's all kinds of things that we get if we can keep things opened up. And if we could do it with a mask instead of with going home, that would be really nice.
But I think people get really focused on, I'm not doing this, I am doing this, but really a lot. And there are some folks who are pro mask, but they're not pro mandate. So there are different varying political sides to this issue.
That's
why I want to thank you for actually putting information out there and being on the airwaves to make it a discussion and to make it.
And I don't want to even get into the horrendous weird cases where somebody in a store back east someplace says, please wear your mask or get out if you're not wearing your mask, and they come back and shoot him in the face. I mean, I can't even go there. But in general, there have been some really great opinion pieces by people who own businesses in Anchorage right before they went to their mandate to say, you know, it'd be easier for my waiters in my restaurant to say, that's just what you do here.
That's
required. It's not us being
had with businesses here. That would be interesting to note. I know I did speak with the city manager at one point, and he had mentioned that it would be easier for businesses, but he hadn't.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a month ago. I hadn't spoken with them.
Because I think that there are a lot of businesses who are worried that, the anti-mask people, so I'll just coin a term, anti-mask people are going to say, I won't go in your business because you make me wear a mask. But I think there's just as many people, more, who are saying, I can't go in that business because they don't wear masks there.
There are other things that could be done as well.
How far apart people...
Because there are expenses and there are costs. You know, I know to station somebody, and I think a lot of the onus in Anchorage is definitely, you know, we have a lot of people that could to run the register and still be right there by the door, but to actually man the doorway, and it's kind of the onus to enforce this is on some of the businesses.
And how much would you have to enforce if people were really thinking about it? Because I still run into people who...
But resources, if you had a stack of masks available at businesses, then...
And you know, I wear a mask all the time, except when I'm doing telemedicine with you. That's actually kind of nice that I can get to see your face because we're a long ways away.
Just wear your computer screen.
But mask gets damp after a while, and it's not as good when it's damp. And so I change it in the middle of the day.
Well, let's talk about
that. And
so
it's nice to have more than one mask, and it's nice to have a reusable mask.
There is a lot of, you know, there are talk out there, well, if you wear a mask, then it's people touch it. So do you want to address that?
Well,
you know, how do you properly wear it and not touch?
Well, if you presume that the whole world has COVID and you don't, then you don't touch the outside of it, right? Because they some particles got through their mask or they weren't wearing a mask. And so when you go to take it off, you don't touch the outside of it. And you can't possibly not touch the outside of it. So you take it off and you wash it or whatever, and you wash your hands.
Well, so a lot of a lot of focus on masks, but really, if we let the hand washing go, that's going to be something different, right? So
you got to do both. Have to do both. Yeah, and so the inside of my mask could be dangerous to you if I'm an asymptomatic carrier or I'm about to have a cough and shortness of breath 2 days from now. So I don't want to expose you to the inside of my mask.
Yeah, and how do you address that? I guess this is not a medical question, but definitely I think people across the board are getting more lax on not just the masks, but
on everything.
On everything, right? Are you seeing that?
Yeah, and this is not the time to get lax. It feels when it works so well, like it did in Alaska in that first surge, people say, oh, you guys were just crying wolf. There wasn't a wolf out there. There's a wolf out there. We just did a really good job of to mix our fairy tales of building a brick house.
And I should mention, I believe the outcome of the council meeting last night, there was a special meeting called and COVID-19 was the agenda item. However, there can't be any action taken unless it's an action item right on the agenda. So, but mask wearing was brought up and it is,
they're having a work session on Thursday during the day at 11 a.m. I don't know how that's going to be televised or whatever. And then that was because several people didn't want it to be on the agenda undiscussed at all on Tuesday because, I'm feeling a sense of urgency that we got to get 90% of people wearing masks by 50 days out. That's middle of July. And so their July 7th meeting is their big chance to pass that. And they didn't want to have a mandate on there that hadn't been vetted as to how they wanted it worded and what exactly they wanted to say.
Well, and it's kind of it's hard because it's public disclosure. It's a public group. So they can't be meeting behind closed doors deciding what to do. And then, hey, here's what it is. That all needs to be a public process. But during this, when there's so many different opinions and so much that we don't know that needs to be discussed, that I think it's, it makes for a little bit scattered discussions. But Ethan Berkowitz put out his mask, but there wasn't really any instruction with that. So if you were to say in Valdez, it's obviously, might be a little different than Anchorage, where to, but if there was a mask mandate, what are the important key points to define for the public?
Well, Valdez is different than Singapore, for instance. Singapore has 6 million people in the same footprint as the whole of Valdez, which all goes all the way out to Shoup and whatever, but the same number of square miles as Valdez writ large. 6 million people. Like, holy cow. So the minute they go out their door, they are next to somebody. They are all in apartment buildings. They're going up and down elevators with each other. So if you're seen without a mask, it's a $225 fine in our dollars. And everybody's wearing a mask. Partly they were anyway, but now there's a mandate. And they wear it in the grocery store. They wear it in the grocery store. They wear it in their restaurants. But their kids are going to school and they have 6 cases in people who weren't in dormitories, weren't like fish processors, 6 cases the last few days, 6 cases in 6 million people. So it's working.
But they're at the other end of that.
But there's no reason to do that in Valdez, in my opinion. Why should I have to wear a mask when I'm walking down the sidewalk and there's nobody within half a mile of me? We don't have to do that here because we're not packed in 6 million people in the same place as Valdez.
But there's a lot of decisions to make with regard to that because I don't know in Anchorage if there's a fine. I didn't really get that.
I don't know about that.
I don't think any of it's defined. So it's kind of that, build it and they will come. But in some cases, many might argue that it might be good to have define what it is you're actually mandating before you enact it. So to that end, I guess hats off to Valdez City Council for wanting to meet and have that discussion and be a little bit more on the same page.
Right. And I guess they're going to look at Cordova's. Cordova has a mask mandate, and I don't know exactly you know, what their rules are. I know that Anchorage is, yeah, if you're going to be inside.
They're having 4th of July festivities, COVID-friendly.
Yeah.
COVID, you know, and all of their 4th of July materials are, also...
Speaking of 4th of July, here's Seward had to cancel more than just Mountain Marathon. Now they canceled everything. Because, you know, if you say, as Anchorage's law says, or mandate says, I think, that you have to do it except when you're eating and drinking. Well, Seward has canceled everything because of somebody coming down with symptoms who was at a bar. And you're sipping drinks at a bar, so you would have had your mask off. And there were just so many people that went through those bars that within the people that came out positive the next day, that there's too many people that could be out there about to be symptomatic and being coughing on you for them to want to invite everybody for 4th of July.
Well, and I did want to, I actually say shout out to the band member who posted and told people he had it, I guess, right? So the stigma of COVID or whatever, but I think largely, we talk about numbers, but I do want to mention that Terry Lynch did say last night that the two positive resident cases are doing well. So I want, that's important to me to know and to hear. And I know it's HIPAA rules and we can't, we can't ask a lot of questions, and I frankly don't need to know a lot of details, but I do like to know. I mean, that is nice. 'Cause when you get at the end of the day, these are real people and, no matter where you are on any of these issues, hopefully everybody out there wishes people well and a recovery and a mild case if they have one. So
exactly, and she made a really good point last night that somebody said, well, why haven't you, the public health department, announced where that person went or those people went so that we who had been there could be on the lookout and whatever. And they didn't have to do that like they did in Seward, because it wasn't a bar situation where who knows who was in that bar. You know, the band leader doesn't know who he, or the band member, if that's what it was, doesn't know who he sung toward. those people weren't identified, whereas these people had a quite small social circle, and they hadn't been to any giant parties with people that they didn't know. So they could say, oh yeah, the people that I saw right before I got the symptoms, and remember, you're spewing virus for a couple days before you get the symptoms. That's the big problem on this one. So, you know, they could tell who they'd been around. So it's John Doe and Jane Doe, and they could say a certain number of people, and they contacted those specific people instead of having to put an announcement on the radio saying, anybody who went to here, anybody who went to there.
Well, and that is touchy, and it is of concern to people with, any type of business organization because everyone's trying to get on with life and do the new normal. So, you know, someone walks through your door and, you know, they happen to have COVID, then, hopefully those places, maybe we should talk to those establishments or places, cleaning as well. That's the biggest thing.
Cleaning, washing your hands, not being too close to people, if you can say what the names of everybody that you saw in the last week, that really helps a lot.
And with the place, once someone's been there with COVID, it doesn't mean the place is
permanently contaminated.
Contaminated, right?
No, and especially, you know, the more that they were wearing a mask, the fewer germs that went coughing all over the goods, you know?
Yeah. And I did want to ask, you know, what we're learning more and more, but you have a 2-week quarantine, and you know, if there are no symptoms after that point, then what happens? You know, as then we have cases, then you're free to go.
You're free to go.
Okay. And is there any reason for people to be afraid of someone who's had COVID? Has no symptoms.
Yeah, we don't know entirely what happens with people who are totally asymptomatic. They test positive, and we don't know how many virus they're putting out. It's certainly less than the person who is coughing up crud, and you can see it, you know, coming out of their, you're coughing it up onto a napkin. Certainly less, but we don't know exactly how many. You can't really isolate people.
But the fear is really contagion.
Yeah, the fear is contagion. And we do know that people who are sick enough to be in the hospital are still putting out viral particles for a while, but our test does viral particles. It doesn't do, or the test that we do every day, it doesn't do how infectious are those particles. So it appears that people who've been really sick in the hospital are still putting out viral particles for sometimes 3, 4, 5 weeks afterwards, but those are just pieces of virus. They're not contagious virus. So the number of infectious particles goes way down after so many days after symptoms and whatever. So if, say these people in town contacted somebody and they're put in quarantine for, you know, they have to stay home for 14 days. They absolutely have to stay home. It's not whether you got a negative test, it's you have to stay home for 14 days. Even if you had an asymptomatic case during that, the number of viral particles that are infectious that you're putting out at the end of that 14 days is zip.
And this
nothing's zero, but it's so small.
This has been consistent information.
That hasn't changed. Yeah.
Okay. So because that's important right now to know this is not something that's this week and this the next week. That 2 week window has been pretty consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, and the numbers are, you know, very early on they could say, when are you going to get symptoms? It really goes up at about between 4 to 6 days. If you're going to get symptoms from an exposure, that's when it is. But there's some that are before that, and there's some all the way out to 12 days. So they just added two more just for in case.
And you know, you do testing on Tuesdays, but if somebody is in that social circle of someone who is infected here in Valdez, would they get tested prior to that Tuesday?
Yes.
If it's part of the contact investigation?
If you have any symptoms at all, we would love to test you. The state would love to test you. It doesn't cost any money. And if it's now Tuesday afternoon and they just did the Tuesday morning thing and you're going to miss it by a whole week, no, don't wait the whole week. We'd be glad to see you.
And I understand everyone who was a contact of the resident cases has been tested.
Not necessarily, because they're going to be in quarantine for 14 days anyway.
Okay.
So the test wouldn't change what you're going to do.
Okay. So testing is required to have it?
Testing is not it. For quarantine, you know, if they have that big of a risk factor that they were in a meeting with that person, they were in a party with that person, they were in that person's house, they talked to the post office from 2 feet away without a mask, whatever it is, that would make them at risk, and public health will do that in detail. Every time they know somebody's name, they will do that in detail.
I'll go back and listen, but I think I thought that Terry Lynch said that part of the contact tracing was to contact these people. And then they would get a test, but I'm wrong. Is that optional that they get that test?
The people, she said that the people in Seward who had been in that bar were told to come in to get a test. It's a little bit different.
Okay, what are we doing here in Valdez with close contacts?
Close contacts, if you know you're a close contact, you could have a negative test and you still are in quarantine for 14 days.
What is the direction from medical community here if someone is in close contact?
Close contact will hear from the public health nurse and get a very specific set of instructions are tailored to their...
Do you know what those are?
It's self-quarantine. It's like even if you were the person who saw that person at the post office or at work, then you stay away from the rest of your family so that they don't become close contacts too.
Are they asked to take a test?
My understanding is no.
But it's available, you're saying.
Well, it'd be available, and basically, who we're seeing on Tuesday morning are people who are in specific occupations. They're taking care of the special needs population. Yeah. They're working at the hospital. They're whatever, or forward facing businesses. You know, people who work at Safeway or whatever with asymptomatic. And then we are also seeing the people who have the travel vouchers. They got tested once and they need their second test to get off of minimal contact. And we're seeing people who have minimal symptoms and they're staying in their car.
So a close contact, are they offered the option to come and have a test? Do you know?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay. Because that's an interesting question, because I think I might assume, we had a resident case and then I'm, you know, testing. And if there are new tests in a week, then perhaps, but if they're not being tested, and I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong. I'm just wondering what the process is and if it's an optional.
Yeah. If I were a researcher, I would want to know of that person who, you know, sat in that meeting or met those people at the post office, whatever it was, those contacts, wouldn't I love to know how many of them actually caught it from them? And those kinds of data are coming from various places. But my understanding from talking to Pam is that no, they're not testing those people, because even if that test came out negative, that's just a point in time. It's not 100% test. So they're still in quarantine for 14 days with or without the test. So they're not doing the test as their priority. The test is not their priority. The 14 days is their priority.
Is the priority. So yeah. Regardless of whether someone wants a test or not,
but any little symptom, and of course, if you are looking around saying, I got exposed to COVID, you could get a lot of symptoms.
Into the medical clinic or called the hospital and said, I am a close contact. Can I have the test? The testing, is that through public health, the actual?
No, you know, public health doesn't test asymptomatic people. The state will test asymptomatic people in certain categories.
So, so here in Valdez, you still have to have a symptom to have a test or be a frontline worker.
Yes.
Okay. And that's interesting, because I didn't know. I've had some discussions with Cordova. I asked to be on their press release list so I could know whether they have the cases in Cordova, because it's up to the community to, it's kind of hinky, you know, it has to be the community that reports it. It can't be reported by the state. But they have tested 1,000 people. They really were proactive, got the test, and I know here we're not doing that. So I don't know.
The state lab at the moment, according to Dr. Zink at the state, can do 2,000 tests a day, and they are doing 2,000 tests a day. And their turnaround time is something like 48 hours. Of course, from here, you got to get it there first. So that adds a little bit. There's still some problem with getting those test results back to the people who had them done. Excuse me. So it's not all the kinks are not worked out, because they've gone from doing 2,000 a day.
The nature of their hospital, it made them a higher priority to have that testing, or if they paid for it, or, you know, I don't know how they got so much testing.
Right at the moment, people say, well, let's go to commercial labs, but they're taking longer. And not just because of the transportation down to Kansas or San Diego or whatever, but because they're over.
Now, what do you think about home tests? Now you hear news of you can.
There are no good home tests yet. So, you know, I'm not saying that there won't be. That'll be fantastic if you could do your own test over and over and over again. You know, can I go back to work? Well, here, you know, when the tests get better and more available, but we're just not there yet. I just want to be clear. The only people who can just call up the hospital and say, I want to be there for Tuesday for a test are in those specific groups that the state have said they will do. Or the people who have a voucher getting into the state.
For people who didn't hear, maybe our last thing is, the hospital itself, and I think it is calling different frontline businesses and offering the service. But if you don't have it, then you can, if you think you're somebody who fits that category of a frontline worker here in Valdez and you want to get tested, you can contact the hospital, but they're kind of the gatekeeper for who's.
Right, who's because we're using the state's free test, and so we have to use the state's rules as to what they'll do for free. Okay, it could be that we could get people and send it to a commercial lab. So everybody else who isn't in those groups needs to call one of the doctor's offices.
Wait, why am I not thinking of her name? The nurse, she has a beautiful voice. that is doing the tests. Olivia Foster.
Oh, Olivia Foster. Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's
you look at people's voices.
I know who can sing.
Well,
if people are wondering or have questions, she would be a good contact at the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, if you want your business included or that sort of thing, but then other people can call one of the doctor's offices. And if we say, yeah, you should get a test. It's now Monday afternoon. You can wait till Tuesday. That would be great. We'll just throw you in the line. If you're part of a huge group, Like Olivia goes down and does the next group of fish processing workers so that they don't have to leave their little compound. And she goes to them with a whole suit on and does them, you know, 100 at a crack.
Mention, I believe they're paying, right? Like
they're paying, yeah.
That's not on the onus on the hospital or the city.
No, that's part of their deal to be able to do fish processing this year.
And I just want, hey, I know this is not about that at all.
Well, can
but
I just
shout
finish?
Out to Pam Verfi, who's her with her group of beta kids at the high school is collecting board games and things to bring over to Peter Pan Seafood. So
oh,
I just want
cool.
to give a little
that's
shout
cool.
out to the kids for and Pam for organizing that and
give them something to do when they're not yeah, being able to wander around like usual.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah,
but.
No. And then if you say, oh, gosh, it's Wednesday and I really want to do my 7 to 14 day after I traveled thing. I don't want to have to wait all the way till Tuesday. If you call the hospital right at the moment, they're trying to just get those into groups. Otherwise, to just not use up too many resources.
Well, and you mentioned it takes,
but you don't
a
have
lot.
To wait necessarily all the way till the next Tuesday. They're trying to figure out how they're okay. going to do that efficiently.
And you said that takes a whole lot of time to really just.
It takes time. It takes masks.
And,
it takes gowns.
And so to do
it takes
more people. At one time is definitely
yeah they can do probably 200 people in 2 hours
and you
if
guys
they
have
all
no idea
line
what's
up.
Coming right have you done a lot of tourist there's a voucher at the airport that people will get if they come in so they should either have the test 72 hours prior to landing if they don't they can get tested at the airport and then either way they can get a voucher right to be
right.
retested
7 to 14 days later
and
they're supposed
so are
to do
you
it
seeing
again.
Many of those here
some but it hasn't been overwhelming yet, but I think people are still getting geared up to be a tourist.
And I would think for the most part, those are folks who maybe are, I mean, and this applies to Valdezans that have been in the lower 48 too. So maybe people who are
well,
staying
people coming
a bit
back,
longer.
Yeah.
yeah are staying.
I think that's what we're seeing mostly is people okay. who are coming back or they're planning on how to come back. And right now it's frustrating because you get back and you're in minimal contact. And so for instance, nobody in my office all the people you see in my office are not minimal. That's not a minimal contact job. If you're the cashier at the Safeway, that's not a minimal contact job. But if you're you,
I just sit here in my little hole.
You sit here in your little hole. You can go to work yeah. on minimal contact, whereas you couldn't on quarantine. But if you want to get off of minimal contact sooner, you should be able to get this test, get the results back in 48 hours. Isn't that wonderful? And right now, it's taking more than a week, so you might as well.
Is it
save
is
your
about
money.
The average time for a test here in Valdez to come back about a week?
That's what it's taking. I mean, supposedly it's supposed to be back in 48 hours plus getting shipped out of here. And so that should be 72 hours, maybe 96. And it's just taking a long time. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's really hard.
Well, and
so,
we were talking about this. We're a big state, but really small. So sometimes these big spikes are coming because it's testing,
yeah.
right? And sometimes the real lows are because
and they're going
they
to,
didn't get through tests that day.
And
so.
They're going to, the 2,000 a day, if you're just doing it because you happen to work at a hospital, they're going to put that as a lower priority than somebody who's symptomatic.
Well, and I'm kind of surprised. I guess we're the sixth in the nation in terms of
tests per capita. We're
that,
doing a pretty good job.
I didn't realize.
Well, that's
that. So that was kind
and
of
people who are go to the lower 48 and then want to come back are finding that they can't find any place to do a test on them as an asymptomatic person just because they want to travel. So they're having to do it at the airport. They can't do the 72 hours in advance. They'd love to do that and save themselves some time at the airport. And
any other advancements? The more we know, the less we know, it seems. Or it looks like people are maybe looking more into long-term effects of COVID and any new data?
The state had a big, long list of what-ifs, not what-ifs, but I would say preliminary data. It's not what-ifs, but preliminary data on what's going to happen in the long run with COVID. And well, we've only had COVID since 2019, right? So you can't say what's going to happen 30 years later. How would you possibly know? But looking at SARS, which was a virus that we had several years ago, and MERS, which is another one, they're a little bit different. But looking at those and what happened long term, some of those things got worse for a while, like the lung damage actually was worse for a while and then went away in 5 years. And some of it, but they don't know on those 30 years either because it hasn't been 30 years yet. Some of the things got worse and worse and worse. Some of them didn't show up until later. Everything from more diabetes, because it actually attacks pancreatic cells in some people. There's all kinds of little blood clots in this particular virus that they didn't have in SARS and MERS before.
Are there medical things that you should check for, even if you're asymptomatic or, as you're If you're testing positive?
We don't know enough about it to say, oh boy, you know, if you had an asymptomatic case, you got to check yourself for diabetes in exactly a year and a half. We don't know that yet. But it makes one wonder about, you know, various things people have said. Well, let's just have everybody get it in a controlled way so that then we'll have herd immunity. But if everybody just got a case and got over it, kind of like we used to do the chicken pox, you know, let's just go to the chicken pox party, get the chicken pox and get it over with while you're young. But what if it has problems with your lungs for the next 30, you know, for the whole rest of your life? You know, do you really want to have yourself or your child exposed to that? And we don't know yet. We really don't know. So I wish I could say, oh yes, we know this, but all the preliminary stuff is too preliminary to really hang your hat on.
And one thing we do know is the positive benefits of exercise, getting outside. And I know that's been a challenge for folks during this time and a lot of mental, mm-hmm. you know, things going on, you know, and not just for people who have problems, but like the average person, I think, is experiencing all kinds of things that feelings that they haven't had before. So to that end, any suggestions for mental health?
Well, the really nice thing about Valdez as opposed to Singapore is that you really can go outside and be so far from other people that you can, you know, walk the dog, go for a walk, just go sit out in your lawn, you know, and get some sun, go out in the rain, and that's pretty nice too this time of the year.
Man, we've had a good summer though. This has been the
Or you know, talk to your neighbor across the fence from 6 feet away. I mean, we really have a lot of
social advantages connections
here.
I mean, those are really. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you learned that in school and in years of medicine, mm-hmm. that personal connection is
and you know, other people have to do everything online because they can't step out of their apartment in New York City because they're all of a sudden there's too many people right then. But we don't have that, and so you really can, you know, have a socially distanced discussion with somebody from 20 feet away, and everybody and their Uncle Joe won't be listening to you because they're 2 miles away. And so it's really, we really are so lucky, and people should take advantage of that. Mental health is pretty darn important.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end.
Wear your mask, wash your hands.